to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Hello. How's 2021 feeling? We've had a little bit of time to get used to it. 10 days in. Hope you're having a wonderful year so far. We're going to conclude my three-week series today, A Promise, A Power, and A Plan. Locating Scripture is the Great Commission within its context, which I think is really important. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, within the context of a promise, "I am with you always," says Jesus, "and a power, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This plan, this great commission that Jesus has given his church, it goes from looking daunting and impossible to something you and I can attach our faith to. Much like when I got a new phone, I straight out went and got a brand new case to give me protection for my phone, as well as a freedom and a confidence. Much like that casing for that phone brings freedom and confidence, as we see this great commission encased within a promise and a power, freedom and confidence can come for you and I to step out, be disciples, and make disciples. In the last 2 weeks, we've unpacked, number one, a promise that Jesus is always with us, and number two, a power. All authority has been given to Jesus. He is superior and the true Lord of all, and you and I live and go in that authority and the power that he gives us. Today, we conclude with a plan. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." I love the fact that God can be trusted because he's got a plan. He's got a plan for humankind. This plan is for humans to know him and to live life to the full, to live free from sin and death, and to live with purpose. And that plan intrinsically involves his church, you and I, followers and disciples of Jesus, men and women whose lives have been transformed by the love, the forgiveness, the grace, and the power of God, that we would be disciples who would go and reproduce ourselves, multiply, go and make disciples. In isolation, this call, this great commission, this plan, it's a daunting task. We may ask ourselves, how are we qualified? How can this be done? How can we make it a priority in the busyness of life, with the stresses of life, of finances, of family, of health, of career? I'm sure many Christians throughout history, even the first Christians, had those similar thoughts, asked those same questions, had similar struggles and tensions. Yet, as we look around the world today in 2021, we see the gospel has gone into most areas of the world. Yet there are still people who haven't heard. And we see that there are church communities that have sprung up and that have established in most parts of the world. Yet still, there are many areas where no church is. It's been done. It's been done so effectively, so well by the church, by disciples. And now it's our time. It's our time to play our part. But we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in our own name, in our own authority. We can't do it without God close. But it's by trusting in that promise and receiving the power of Jesus that it can be done. What can make this plan seem more daunting at times is that its focus is on making disciples. It's not about just evangelizing or seeing converts won. Jesus has never been interested in drawing a crowd. He's always been interested in the ones who will listen and obey. They're the ones who are going to change the world. They're the ones who will step out the plan to go and make disciples. And responses to this plan from humanity and within the church today vary, with generally three options. Firstly, we can question the plan. This plan's ridiculous. It's too audacious. It's totally unrealistic. Are you saying that the plan that God has, the ultimate being of the universe, the creator, supreme being, you're saying that the centerpiece of his plan is humankind with their human ways and general humanness? Yeah, okay. Nice one. Let's have a think. God came as a human, Jesus Christ. Jesus died for humans. And so far, humans who formed the church at the beginning have made a pretty good fist at taking the gospel to the far reaches of the world over 2,000 years later. So maybe our humanness is actually an important and essential part of the plan. And obviously we as humans, we're limited. We only ever see part of the plan. Proverbs 16:9 highlights this. And it's just one of example of a number of similar scriptures in the wisdom literature. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. He knows. He's got the plan in hand. We only see part of the picture. And so maybe imperfect, redeemed sinners who go through challenges, who suffer, who experience loss and disappointment, maybe they are part of the plan. Maybe we are part of the plan. And as Jesus fully identified with humankind, especially through his baptism and his death, we too can fully identify with humankind who are desperately searching for meaning and worth and purpose. But don't we need to be perfect? Don't we need to know more Bible? It's always good to know more Bible. Don't we need to live more holy? It's always good to live more holy. But don't we have to have this perfect scenario? There's never a perfect scenario. There's never a perfect time. You and I don't need to be perfect for the plan to be effective. I'll say it again. You and I don't need to be perfect for the plan to be effective. When Jesus initially delivered this message, this great commission to his disciples, he was speaking to a bunch of doubters and deniers. He was speaking to a bunch of people so proud, they were more interested in who would have the most authority in heaven than reaching out to others. You and I have been given a great gift. This innate ability from God to adapt, to turn a weakness into a strength, to shift the game plan, to use what was meant for evil and turn it around for good. And it's never too late to change it up. It's never too late to change the way we see this great commission, this great plan from God. Picture this. It's 3:40 a.m. a couple of Fridays ago. I woke up, our cat Yoda was scratching something, our couch, the carpet. Love him, he's annoying. I let him out. And I walked into the toilet to go for a quick number one. And on the side wall of this toilet that I was in, there's a massive huntsman, this big, almost the size of my face. And I was like, okay, it looked like a toy. It was that big. I'm like, okay, oh, I can't just quickly go to the toilet and then go back to bed and hope that the spider's gone, because I have a wife and my wife hates spiders. And so I thought, I've got to do something about this. I'm going to catch him because he's a creature. God created him. I'm going to capture this huntsman and I'm going to throw him out. That was the plan. And so I got a dustpan and brush and I go back into the toilet and I'm trying to chase him. Huntsmen are fast, man. He's just scurrying around the toilet. And I'm thinking, okay, that's not going to work. So I have to adapt my plan. I have to change my plan. And so I thought, I'm going to box him. I'm going to get a box or a container and get an envelope and box him in, get the envelope across to seal the entrance, and then I'm going to put him outside. So I got this Christmas box that my youngest Lucy had some stuff in, and I got that and I got an envelope. Again, this guy's just quick, man. I got no chance in trying to capture him. And he's so big, the box, you know, wasn't containing him. At that point, I was making a fair bit of noise, and my beautiful wife, Karen, she woke up and she said, "Oh, what's going on? Is that a moth? Is that a cockroach?" And I just said, "Yeah, let's call it that, babe." I didn't want to tell her about the huntsman until the morning. Otherwise, she wouldn't get back to sleep. So I said, "Let's call it that." Anyway, I looked at the situation. I thought, I've just got to get rid of this huntsman. I'm sorry, mate. And I had to, again, change my plan, see things differently. And I squished half the huntsman inside the box, half outside the box. I got him outside, and then I really struggled to get back to sleep. Every couple of minutes, I felt something on my face. There's another spider. There's a pack of spiders. Where's the family? Was that the mum? Was that the dad? Where are the other huntsmen? Are they coming to hunt me? Are they coming to get me? Anyway, the next morning, Karen woke up and said, "Oh, so what was it? What happened?" And I told her that it was a huntsman. She freaked out. But I had to adapt. I had to use my initiative and use what I had. Now, you and I as human beings, we've got wounds. We've got scars. We've got experiences. We've been disappointed, we've been let down, we've hurt others. All of these things can be used. They're not a detriment to this plan of God being effective. They can be used as part of the plan. Because when we add a promise and we add a power to our lives and our willingness to use what the experiences that we've had and the life that we've lived, when we add that to God's power, to His promise, to His authority, we will see incredible fruit take place. We can also resist the plan. We can look at the plan and we can question it. We can look at the plan and we can resist it. That's not for me. That's not my role. Pastors can do that. It's not for now. I've got enough to deal with in my own life. This is where a mindset shift is really essential. Now, my son Harrison's been playing cricket this season. It took about 3 or 4 years of him asking for us to finally say, "Yeah, we're willing to give up our Saturday mornings, every Saturday morning for 4 hours. To sit out in the sun and watch you play cricket and maybe touch the ball a couple of times and hit the ball a couple of times. Yeah, no worries." Anyway, you can see I'm really passionate about this. And he'd been batting and he'd been kind of focusing on not getting out when he was batting. And so they retire after 25 balls. And so he was blocking. And there was this one game where 4 of his teammates had retired, but they needed runs. They only needed 9 more runs when the game ended. But there were 4 guys that had retired. And I sat down with Harrison. I said, "Dude, what's your mindset when you go out there?" He's like, "I just don't want to get out. I'm just trying not to get out." I said, "Have you ever thought about the fact that when you go out to bat, to try and score some runs?" And he's like, okay, I'm going to do that. Anyway, next game we play, he goes out with that mindset that I'm going to look to score some runs. He hit 4 fours, his first ever boundaries. he retired, went back in, he scored 20 runs. And he came off and he's like, I get it now. I'm supposed to go out to bat and to make runs. That's the purpose. The purpose for you and I, our faith as disciples, it's not to be in a happy, clappy community. It's not to sit back and go, well, I'm saved, it's all good. The focus is not on us. Because when we live our Christian faith with a focus on ourselves, that is diametrically opposed to the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's opposed to his message. It's the opposite of what the essence of Christianity is about, because the essence of Christianity is about others. And so we can resist that plan and we can say it's not for me, but that goes against the faith that God's put in us, the love that he's put in us for others. Go and make disciples is a plan for every disciple. Every person who calls themselves a follower of Jesus, to say it's not for me, or there's not really anyone in my world that I can reach, I'm so sorry to say this, but that's a cop-out. And look, I've had seasons where I've said those things as well, but it's a cop-out. It's time to look at this plan differently. It's time to be on the front foot. It's time to use that faith and that love and that intimate relationship we have with God to benefit others. And so we can resist the plan. Lastly, we can be a part of the plan. I believe in what this plan is. I believe in the Great Commission because I'm the fruit of the plan. You're the fruit of the plan as a follower of Jesus. You are a result of people going and making disciples. And I believe in this church community over four decades having an effective focus on making disciples. And I believe that 2021 is a year, is an opportunity. I know we're in a pandemic, but it's a year and an opportunity for each one of us to have a fresh purpose and intentionality to say, yes, yes, I'm going to play my part. I'm in. Discipleship will be a focus for me in 2021. I'm going to commit to growing as a disciple, and I'm going to commit to making disciples, even if it's helping one person take one step on a pathway of discipleship. Maybe it's a neighbor who's asking questions about our faith, an invitation to an Alpha course this year, or sharing our testimony is helping people take a step. Maybe it's with a family member who's a person of faith but doing it tough. We can offer to pray with them. We can talk to them about baptism if they haven't been baptized, about being part of a church community if they're on the edges. Or people who are on the edges, who are in our church around the periphery or who are stuck, we can get alongside them and we can encourage them to volunteer, to be in a group, to go to another level in their personal devotion, create those incredible habits, help them do that. Offer to give them resources to help them do that. And we have wonderful generations in our church, a multi-generational church. And the 56 plus generation, you are amazing, incredible, faithful stalwarts in our church. And there are younger people in this church who need role models to show the way. And so can I encourage you, if you're in that 56 plus generation, take a risk. Step out and encourage a younger person in our church community. Come alongside them, pray with them, lead them, help them, be available to teach them. Because as we do that, as we get alongside someone and make that commitment to be a disciple and go make disciples, we are going to see that go beyond heartbeat that is a part of the value and the culture of our church explode. We're going to see influence increasing for every one of us in our sphere of influence. And we're going to see families and friendships fostered at an incredible level. And so let's make a decision right now. Let's make a commitment to God, 2021. I'm going to obey you, God. I'm going to lead you as you call me to go and to make disciples this year. If it's one step, one decision, one encounter, I'm committed to doing that. Let me pray. God, I thank you for every person today who is watching this. I pray, God, that you'll empower them to continue to be a disciple. You would make clear the next step for them. You would draw near to them as they call out to you. You would empower them and strengthen them in your authority. And you would help them, God, to take that next step to grow as a disciple. And God, I also pray for an empowering today, an impartation of faith by your Spirit to help people to see that they are disciple makers and that they are called and empowered to go, to get alongside someone, to reach out to someone. And so give clarity on the next steps for people today to be disciple makers in 2021. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.